The head of Boeing is out. From Washington, D.C. today, I'm David Brancaccio. There is news the CEO of Boeing is stepping down. Dennis Muilenburg has struggled to address the problem of its 737 MAX jets, grounded after two fatal crashes. Not helping, last Friday, Boeing messed up the big test of its capsule that will eventually ferry humans into space. He'll be replaced by the chair of Boeing's board, David Calhoun. The board says the CEO's ouster is designed to restore confidence, to repair relationships with regulators, customers, and other stakeholders. Last week, Boeing said it's halting production of that 737 version, shaking its many suppliers. This will have ripple effects. Let's consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So we shouldn't just think about Boeing or airlines. It's bigger thing for the economy?
Well, yes, the manufacturing sector has been in the doldrums for a while now, and Boeing is a big part of that. So their production shutdown will be an important feature of the first quarter of the year.
It'll show up in gross domestic product, the shutting down of the 737 MAX line until they can get approved to go back in the air.
That's right. In fact, we think it could take as much as 0.5% or even a little bit more off of GDP growth in the first quarter. And then when that comes back depends on when production resumes.
And an airplane is a durable good. And just this morning, we got the latest reading on longer lasting expensive things. And it looked a little soft to me. Excluding airplanes, non-defense capital goods went up just 0.1%.
That's right. And shipments actually declined. And this has been the weak spot in GDP all year. Investment has been very weak. We think it's related to slower growth abroad and the trade war. But certainly Boeing's woes add to this generally weak picture for business investment.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Chinese officials said they'll cut tariffs on 800 categories of imports starting the first of the year, which, as you know, is next week. This could be a slightly late holiday gift for U.S. businesses, for starters. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Pack in Shanghai.
China says it will cut tariffs on things like smartphone parts and frozen pork to help ease China's pork supply, which has been ravaged by the African swine fever. In some cases, tariffs will be down to zero, like on products to treat asthma or raw materials to produce new diabetes and anti-cancer drugs. These tariff cuts apply to all foreign imports, not just American goods. Chinese state media did not say this is related to the trade tensions with the U.S., but the timing of this announcement comes just after China and the U.S. announced they will sign a Phase 1 deal soon, without showing the agreement. U.S. trade officials say China has committed to buying $200 billion more over the next 2 years, especially in agriculture, but China has not confirmed this dollar amount. Most of China's new tariff cuts will start on January 1st. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
As we close out the teens and move into the 20s, a keepsake souvenir of the old days, maybe those little bottles of shampoo conditioner they put in hotel rooms. In reaction to those terrible gyres of plastic swirling in oceans, the little bottles will start vanishing, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Hyatt is the latest hotel chain to promise to get rid of tiny shampoo bottles. It decided to sacrifice them in the name of sustainability.
Many people take home the products, but it ends up staying in a drawer.
That's Marie Fukudome, Hyatt's Director of Environmental Affairs. She says the chain is still working out what to replace the mini bottles with.
They will be larger containers, so the product can be used through multiple uses.
Translation, they won't be easy to stuff in luggage. Marriott and Intercontinental Hotels Group have made similar promises to stop using small plastic bottles. Time frames range between a year and two.
Single-use plastics is on a lot of people's radars.
Joanne Hendricks is the founder of the consultancy Travel Without Plastic. She says hotels are seeing demand for change.
A lot of the tour operators, they're actually asking that their hotel partners are engaged in sustainability.
A Nielsen survey found that a vast majority of consumers want companies to be more environmentally conscious. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Here at Marketplace, our mission goes beyond reporting the news. It's to make people smarter about the economy through reliable, independent journalism. Your support is what makes it all possible, whether you donate a little or a lot. Being a Marketplace investor makes you a partner in that mission. If you're already giving, thank you very much for going above and beyond. If not, there's still time. Donate today, marketplace.org. And thanks for believing in what we do.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to a claim of forced labor in the supply chain of an international supermarket company. According to reports in Britain, a six-year-old girl opened up a holiday card and found a note inside, in all caps, asking for help and claiming the card was made by prisoners in Shanghai forced to work. The grocery chain Tesco is investigating. The BBC's John Donaldson reports.
Florence Widdicombe was sitting down at home to write out her Christmas cards to her friends and family when she got a surprise.
We were writing in them, and about on my sixth or eighth card, somebody already wrote it, had already written in it.
Florence's father, Ben Widdicombe, explained what the message said.
The card said the author was part of a group of foreign prisoners in Quengpi prison in Shanghai. They were asked or forced to work against their will. Please could human rights organisations be made aware, and specifically could it be passed on to Peter Humphrey?
Peter Humphrey is a human rights journalist who himself spent time in the Qingpu prison for his part in an alleged corruption scandal. He's now back in the UK and we spoke to him today.
This was written by some of my cellmates from that period who are still there serving sentences. When I was there, manufacturing labour work was voluntary. What has happened in the last year or so is that work has become compulsory. And everyone I know in there at the time was in there for very questionable reasons.
A spokesperson for Tesco said the company was shocked and would never allow prison labour in its supply chain. Tesco has launched an investigation, and production of its cards at that particular factory has been halted.
The BBC's John Donison there. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.